AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
8:06 in the morning. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Mornings on News Radio 103.9, 1300 KACI, 98.3 FM, 1340 AM, KIHR in Hood River, online at GorgeRadio.com, also on Alexa through the KIHR skill. And here's what we're doing this morning, first half of the show. Lily Von Mosch is going to join us. She's a board member on the White Sand Valley Metropolitan Pool District Board. And we are going to be talking about, well, the White Salmon Valley pool. And they got here a few weeks ago, and the Washington legislature wrapped up a fairly sizable grant that will put them a decent amount of the way toward actually getting to finally get this pool to be a reality. It has been a while. This has gone on. You probably remember a few years ago, it was before the pandemic, when the old pool in White Salmon in Rheingarten Park had to be shut down. There were attempts by the city of White Salmon, but then there were also moves to try to build a more modern complex. The city of White Salmon at the time was looking more just to replace the pool, the outdoor pool. And, well, it's kind of led us to here, where a few years later, there still isn't a pool there, but it appears maybe some good news that we're headed that way. So we'll talk to Lily about where they're at this point and what's got to happen the rest of the way. They're also looking at sounds like there'd probably be an annexation vote here soon for Trout Lake. See if the Trout Lake School District residents, they kind of go by school districts because it's easier that way, would like to annex into the district, the pool district here. So we'll do all that with Lily in the first half. Marty Dane is going to join us second half of the show. She's scheduled to be our guest this morning. We'll chatter away with her for a while. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day means and what it's meant, at least to some people. 1057, Macbeth, King of Scots, was killed in battle by Malcolm, the eldest son of King Duncan, whom Macbeth had slain. 1914, the Panama Canal officially opened. The just-completed waterway between the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans on that date. 1935, humorist Will Rogers, aviator Wiley Post killed when their airplane crashed near Point Barrow in the Alaska Territory. 1947, India gained independence after nearly 200 years of British rule. 1961, as workers began constructing a Berlin Wall made of concrete, East German soldier Conrad Schumann leapt to freedom over a tangle of barbed wire. Good for him. 1969, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair opened in upstate New York. Over 460,000 people would attend the three-day festival, which would become a watershed event in American music and culture. 2003, bouncing back from the largest blackout in U.S. history, cities from the Midwest to Manhattan restored power to tens of millions of people. And in 2021, the Taliban regained control of the Afghan capital of Kabul after the withdrawal of U.S. forces from the country. Days for today, it is Chant at the Moon Day. Now, this was created by Stemmel growers up in Wenatchee. They dedicated this to celebrating Stemmel's high-elevation cherries a half mile closer to the moon cherries. I'm going to admit I have never heard of that variety. You know, I'm kind of basic, your Bings, your Rainiers, things like that. I did not know there were half mile closer to the moon cherries available. I don't know if they grow any around here. Sure, one of the growers could chime in on that. Also, it's I Love Cowboys and Cowgirls Day today. It is National Back to School Prep Day today. Getting ready to go back to school. It's National Best Friends Day today. It's National Check the Chip Day, and no, we're not talking about checking to see if you have a chip in a Pringles can of chips, you know, see if one is broken or something. This is about checking to make sure your pet is microchipped, and the information that goes along with that microchip is up to date. It's National Failures Day, specifically to learn from our mistakes and try to better ourselves and not make the same mistakes. And also, and I'd really like to do this, it's National Relaxation Day today. Time to kick back and chill a little. Food and drink today, it's National Lemon Meringue Pie Day today. And it's National Kool-Aid Day today. Apparently, where the Kool-Aid was invented was Hastings, Minnesota. And every year on this weekend, they have a big festival, a Kool-Aid festival going on. So Minnesota's got a couple of those, because they also got the Spam Festival and that they do with the Hormel folks. Forget which town in Minnesota that is. Spam and Kool-Aid. That's an interesting combination. Not sure I should have brought it up even. It is 8:11 in the morning. There it all is for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot. When we come back, Lily Von Mosch scheduled to join us from the White Sand Valley Metropolitan Pool District Board. That's coming up right after this.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-218-5085. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-218-5085 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-218-5085 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-218-5085.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. When I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective, does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it, because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. It makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:13 in the morning. We're happy to have with us on the telephone from the White Salmon Valley Metropolitan Pool District Board, we've got with us Lily Von Mosch. Good morning, Lily.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
Well, thanks.
Well, we have not talked pool on this show for white salmon for a while, and maybe a good thing for us to do would be here is to step back here and kind of outline how we've gotten here. It's been a number of years since the pool had to be shut down at Rheingarten Park in white salmon. But how have we kind of wound ourselves to this point in the in trying to get a pool taken care of, because it's been a long and winding road here?
It sure has been a long and winding road. I think the full effort to replace the community pool started, I mean, if you want to say as early as 2010, but realistically earlier than that. Mm-hmm. People recognized that the original White Salmon City pool was going to age out. It was built in the 1920s. By the time it was decommissioned, it was over 80 years old, so it had a really, really good run. And at the end of its life cycle, it was leaking a significant amount of water per day, and the Washington State Health Department had to give special dispensation to even keep the pool running. And so because the community recognized that the pool was an important part of the community, both as a meeting space and a place for health and fun, they recognized that it was important, and community members stepped forward to create a coalition to work on replacing the pool. And the city of White Salmon assisted with that. The original Mount Adams Park and Recreation that was created assisted with that. There were meetings and studies and various surveys that went out to the community to see what people wanted in a pool. And part of that effort resulted in the creation of the White Salmon Valley Pool Metropolitan Park District in 2018.
So a lot of the time, of course, since that point, the district being established has been to try to raise money for this pool. What is the cost estimate right now on this pool to try to get this
done? The current cost estimate is $8.4 million. And that is inclusive of the 8-lane by 25-yard short course competition pool, as well as the mechanical and changing rooms that are sized to support future expansion. That is a big cost escalation since the initial designs were completed. We know that a lot of things have happened in the intervening years since the creation of the Pool Park District. And we know that there's inflation and cost escalations on materials, and there's been several escalations in costs. We try and go back to our estimators and see how we're doing. And the fact of the matter is that any capital project, the longer that it takes to implement, the more it costs to build. It's just the state of the world.
Mm. Now, just to refresh my memory here, this is an outdoor pool, correct? Are we talking about an indoor pool?
That's correct. This is a extended season outdoor pool. Okay. The original White Salmon Valley pool was an outdoor pool. And the ballot measure that created the Pool Park District specifically referenced a seasonal pool. Additionally, the cost to run an indoor pool is extremely high. Mm-hmm. If you look at the budget for the Hood River pool, mm-hmm. it is, I believe, if I recall correctly, around $700,000, and a significant mm-hmm. amount of that is subsidized by taxes.
Yep.
We have a much smaller base of participants for pool activities than the Hood River Valley. And realistically, to ensure that the pool can be operational, we have to peg our planning to what can reasonably be supported by the community, both through the levy funding, which was created as part of the Pool Park District ballot measure, as well as programming. Mm-hmm. And the Pool Park District ballot measure levy was pegged to the cost of operating the pool based on historical data. Yeah. And even with cost escalations, our estimates show that the current levy funding is sufficient to mm-hmm. operate the pool mm-hmm. along with pool programming mm-hmm. and including reserves for future capital projects and upkeep. Mm-hmm. The levy does not pay for building the pool, which yeah. is why the volunteers and commissioners of the White Salmon Valley Pool Metropolitan Park District have spent these years that we're working on this project to fundraise to actually build the project.
So let's talk about money here now. Let's start with the piece of news you got as the Washington legislature adjourned. And that is, you did get a state grant for this pool. And you know, tell us about what that is.
Yeah, we've actually received two state grants. The Washington Recreation Conservation Organization is a state-funded recreation organization, predominantly outdoor recreation, and they fund several grants. The two grants that we received were the Community Outdoor Athletic Facilities Grant and the Youth Athletic Facilities Grant. We heard about the Community Outdoor Athletic Facilities Grant near the end of 2024, and we confirmed the Youth Athletic Facilities Grant, which is also outdoor focused, this June. We knew we had ranked highly on both of those. It's a pretty rigorous process to submit for grant funding through these. There's a lot of data that has to be submitted and also public presentations in front of the RCO board. And so we did find out in June of 2025 that we had received the Youth Athletic Facilities grant. And the total of both of those grants together is over $2.7 million. The great thing was that the Community Outdoor Athletic Facilities grant was partially funded at about $930,000. And one of the things that our legislature helped to do was completely fund that Community Outdoor Athletic Facilities grant for us. So that raised it to our total ask of 1.2, which brings us in at the over $2.7 million between those two grants.
So where does that put your financial stack as far as what you have right now? So the 2.7 in the grants, and they obviously you had other funding in hand through fundraising, et cetera.
Yeah, so we have obviously the levy funding. Mm-hmm. And the levy funding we use to help pay for all of the things that have to happen prior to construction, including ensuring that we have the appropriate folks to help us build the pool. We are mm-hmm. obviously an all-volunteer board of five people, and luckily some community members stepped forward to assist us as well. But with an all-volunteer community board and no paid employees, these are people who have jobs and families and are trying to get the pool built for the community as well. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the some direct donations and also the grant funding. So we're closing in on 70% funded. We are nailing down some potential pledges that have been discussed in the past, finding out what the status of those are. As we head into the fall, we have already submitted all of our permits. Both our SEPA and our CUP permit have been submitted to the county. And if we can get to 80% funding by this December, we are planning to go to bid in the first part of 2026.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, given that the 70% mark at funding at this point. I mean, I do know, I mean, let's face it, the more successful you are getting grants, it does tend to open up the door for more grants because you're showing that the interest is there for this to happen. Do you have more opportunities for grant funding here coming down the road?
We're looking at all opportunities for grant funding, obviously. Mm-hmm. There are typically a relatively limited number of grantors that will do capital projects. Yeah. A lot of people want to pay for programming, for example, teaching children to swim or adults to swim. That's a really easy grant to go find. But to pay for a capital construction project, those are pretty challenging. So we're looking at smaller grant projects, last mile grantors that will do do capital campaign projects. But the fact of the matter is that we're going to need to look at all funding sources. The community has said that they want this pool, and we're working diligently to do that. And we're hoping that folks in the community will also step forward to assist with the project, either through volunteers, or we're working with our legal counsel and our construction counsel to see what we can accept for in-kind donations, both of materials and services. And we should know the framework for what we can accept in the near term here. And so we'll be looking at literally every way to get this pool completed.
I say, you said you get to 80% by December, you can go out to bid for this. That still leaves 20% to go, I guess, for full funding here. Is there a reason why is there anything magical about the 80% number?
The 80% number is the rule of thumb for when you will be accepted if you go out to bid.
Yeah.
Obviously, folks who are going to build me something are not going to want to take my job unless I can give them their money.
Right.
So 80% says, hey, we're within the finish line.
Yeah.
And so that's the target that we're going for prior to going for bid. We have talked to our construction folks about, you know, what kind of phasing we can do. And there are some ways that we can break up the phasing of the construction. Mm-hmm. Site prep is obviously the first part. We also have to be cognizant that the White Cement Valley School District has provided us the lease for the location. Mm-hmm. And so when we start construction, we need to be aware of obviously the school year and what's going on at that point. So we'll be working with all of our stakeholders to ensure that we're, you know, getting the right thing done at the right time.
And that's what I was going to get to in terms of you mentioned phasing. I was going to ask, can this project be phased? So, you know, even if you're at, you know, X percentage of money over the 80% mark, but you're not at 100%, could you start to move out of construction of the actual pool and wait for some of the other ancillary construction until you complete the funding?
When we did the design process, we looked at all of the options. For example, basically any way to value engineer the project. Mm-hmm. So could we build the pool and use portables for, you know, changing rooms? And what we found out is that the ultimate cost of doing that would just be paying for the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. When we talk about phasing for this project, we're talking about getting the site prep completed and then hopefully very shortly thereafter starting on the pool construction. There is nothing more depressing than an empty hole in the ground, and that is not what we want to do. We need to ensure that we can build this project from soup to nuts in a very short period of time from when we start the project. And there's a few reasons for that. Obviously, you don't want a hole in the ground. We are using land that's provided by the White Summit Valley School District. We need to be respectful of that. We also have timelines related to the grants. RCO grants have a clock that starts, and as long as you are making progress, that clock keeps ticking. But if you try to push the boat out too far, those grantors may choose to withdraw their support for the project. And so we have to basically make hay while the sun shines. And so there is a clock that will start, and the district is doing everything we can to ensure that we can meet that clock.
One more question. I got two more questions here. We are sure running out of time here, but one in particular here is you
mentioned. I'll come back anytime.
I'm sure we'll have you back. But what number one on some of the grants you've gotten, are there time limits on any of these that you've, you know, usually, especially on the state grants, there's this, you know, there's usually a specified amount of time to use the money or it has to go back.
Yeah. There is, and sort of as noted, there is a time limit or clock that will start. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're showing progress, we have check-ins with our grant managers to ensure that we're moving forward with the project. Mm-hmm. And as long as we are moving forward, everything should be fine. But mm-hmm. if there is no forward movement after a certain period of time, they will not be happy with the project. And there's a possibility that they would withdraw their support. Mm-hmm. But we are well within that time limit. Most of those are around 2 years. And so as long as you are showing your forward momentum, you're in good shape. Mm-hmm. And our current project plan does include going to bid in early 2026. And then we will look at...
I think if you can get to the 80% mark construction, maybe summer of 2026?
Yeah, so construction start in 2026 and looking at opening in 2027. Mm-hmm. That is dependent on being able to fund the entire project adequately. Mm-hmm. We don't want to start and stop, but that's why we're starting with the site prep. One note also with the $8.4 million, that does include contingencies. Mm-hmm. So if we can avoid contingencies and if we can build on time and we're not pushing the boat out, then that amount could come down foreseeably, right? Mm-hmm. So every good construction company is going to include contingency because clients get very upset if they pay more than they've been told, right? Yeah. So I'm hopeful that ultimate price will come down a little bit, as well as if we can arrange a great way to accept in-kind donations and goods and services, which we'll know more about in the near future. Hopefully we can help community source some of the things we need to get this project done because it is a project for the community.
One more question here real quick. You've been looking at annexation. Apparently there's been interest in the Trout Lake area of joining the pool district here. Where does that stand? I know there was a public meeting here or maybe one coming up. I can't remember if you've had it or not.
Yeah. So over the last few years, we've had folks from various communities. The White Cement Valley Pool Metropolitan Park District encompasses the city boundaries of Benjamin, White Salmon, Snowden, Hewsome, essentially the White Cement Valley School District area that is included in Klickitat County. So folks from areas outside of that have approached us at various events over the years to ask about annexation into the district. We consider our service area essentially from Home Valley to the Dallesport to Appleton, right? All of the folks from that area come to White Salmon for good services, whatever, sometimes school, et cetera, et cetera. And so we know that people will be using the pool from those areas. And so we've talked over the years about that being our service area, and folks from those outlying areas have talked to us about being annexed or included into the school district or into the park district. And we went before the Trout Lake Community Council back in May, and one of the things that we talked about was annexation. And we went back to talk to them again at the beginning of July, and a community member chose to take up the action to get the petitions to put annexation on the ballot. And they were successful in getting an annexation ballot measure, the number of signatures required to get an annexation ballot measure. And they submitted that to the district. The district accepted that, and we've submitted that ballot measure to the county. And so annexation for the boundaries of the Trout Lake School District into the White Salmon Valley Pool Metropolitan Park District will be on the November ballot. And that would mean that people from the Trout Lake School District area would now be part of the White Salmon Valley Pool Metropolitan Park District, and they would receive in-district programming costs, as well as the ability to influence the direction of the district by running a community member for a board position, also be included in additional outreach specific to the district.
8:31 in the morning, Lily Von Mosch is with us again, the White Salmon Valley Pool Metropolitan Park District Board, our guest. Lily, thanks for doing this. We will talk to you again, I'm sure, down the road.
Thanks so much for inviting me. Have a great day.
Have a great day. 8:31 on MCT. We'll come back, quick look at the news after this.
Hey neighbors, Michelle here from Hood River Supply. The weather's nice and we're your go-to for all things outdoor and agri-ready. As a locally owned co-op, Hood River Supply proudly serves customers and members throughout the gorge. From orchard supplies to garden gear, we've got your back, your house, and your yard. Need equipment repairs? We service everything from tractors to chainsaws. Plus, enjoy store-to-door delivery within 50 miles. Let Hood River Supply in Hood River and Odell help make this summer productive and fun.
Hi, I'm J.R. Frakes, financial advisor with Edward Jones. I believe feeling rich is less about reaching a magic number and more about living life on your terms, with financial strategies that help support a life you love. You can count on me to help you achieve what matters most to you, because the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Contact me today at 509-774-6480, and let's find your rich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
When I had my injury, I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homes for Our Troops is really giving me my life back. It's not just about a home. It's about creating a family and a community that's going to stick with you for the rest of your life.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:33. Quick look at the news. A 39-year-old Dallasport man was taken to a hospital after a one-vehicle accident Thursday morning on northbound Highway 141A west of White Salmon. According to the Washington State Patrol, the man was driving a Jeep SUV at milepost 6.5 when the vehicle overcorrected, went into the southbound lane, went down a hill, and came to rest in the White Salmon River. The WSP says the man taken to a hospital with undisclosed injuries. DUI charges being lodged by the WSP. Oregon continues to struggle with rates of suicide higher than the national average, but more behavioral health workers than ever are training in prevention when they receive professional licenses from the state, according to a new state report. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson announcing the hiring of a Biden administration executive to lead the State Department of Social and Health Services. Ferguson chose Angela Ramirez, chief of staff to former U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra. Oregon Health and Science University on Thursday announcing a $2 billion gift for cancer treatment from Nike co-founder Phil Knight and wife Penny Knight. It's thought to be the largest in higher education in state history. Well, clouds and some showers today. Might be a little sun later on today. Highs in the lower 70s, lower 80s. West winds up to 20 miles per hour. Currently 65 in Hood River in the Dalles. 834. More MCT after this.
At Pierce Stokes Sports, we've got what you need for your kind of fun in the gorge. Trails, wind, water. We have the hottest pair of wings from Ozone in stock now. Plus smoking hot wing foil packages. Woo-hee! Ice axes, crampons, and skins for your mountaineering adventures are here. Our camping department is fully stocked with Deuter backpacks and waste packs for mountaineering, day hikes, trail running, and more. Plus skateboards as well as complete decks. Shop for fun. Shop Pierce Stokes. New and used gear for four seasons of adventure.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep. It's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog. Just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. When I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective, does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. Makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:37 in the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. Marty Dane stopped by this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Our official mediator on this program and your guest host on the week of the 25th of August. She'll be back when I go again. One more week before I have to go into football.
So that I just got to say that those weeks are some of my favorite because I get a chance to really connect with what's going on in the community. Yep. Sometimes I get to see old friends that I haven't seen in years.
And you get to, you know, you get to interview people. You know, like this next time you're going to get City Manager and Mayor. And let's see, you'll also have the mayor of the Dalles and a Klickitat County Commissioner.
Wow, it sounds very governmental.
It'll be early on, at least. Then later in the week, there'll be more other stuff because there's a fifth week in there on a Friday. So it's like that's always a big blank box.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
Until I get it filled.
Absolute favorite on a radio station is the blank box. Go for it.
That's a bad, you know, as we call it, our guest TBA, be announced. Well, anyway, let's just chatter here a little bit about something. What do you got for us here? I was chattering about something else with you off the air.
So what I wanted to propose to you, because I like these ideas that are a little bit farther out there, and I always want to get your take, because you communicate with so many people all the time, so you have a better perspective sometimes than people who are sitting in a educational institution thinking about what it should be.
Okay.
So my thought is that positional bargaining is not real. There is no such thing as a zero-sum win.
I think we need to start with some definition here. When you say positional bargaining,
yes,
what are you talking about?
So there is this concept in any kind of negotiation. If I sit down at the table with you, then I'm trying to like buy a used car.
Okay.
Then if I really care about the relationship with the dealership and I care about the person and I think, you know, I'm going to see them tomorrow. I'm going to see them next week. So I want to make sure this is a really pleasant good deal for them, good deal for me. Yeah. And we would call that like an integrative negotiation. If I really have a relationship I want to hold on to. We often see that in like parenting plans or things where people have a long-term interest in how it goes.
Right.
However, on the other side, most people would say if you're buying a used car from someone, chances are you don't know that person and you don't have a future relationship. So the only thing that matters is the price. And the better the price is that I can walk away with, the better deal for me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter how good of a deal it is for the other person. And so other things are like that.
Yes.
Zero sum. Your favorite forte, sports.
Right.
Is there's a winner, there's a loser.
Exactly. Well, most of the time. There's occasions where a tie occurs.
Occasionally a tie occurs. But we kind of think of it as, you know, you play as hard as you can. You win. They lose. You move forward. They don't. I don't think it's true.
The everything, most things aren't don't involve a winner and a loser.
But even those things that do,
I
just think there's more to the story going on and we don't talk about it.
Well, okay, I'll use as an example. I always say going to the high school football playoffs. There are teams, depending on the team, what is a successful season differs. If you're playing at the Westland Central Catholic level, it's pretty much state championship or bust. You know, that's, or at least get to the, you know, deep into the state playoffs. There are schools that haven't been to the state playoffs in 25 years. If they get there, it's just as successful for them as it is for a West Lynn if West Lynn's holding up the trophy.
Absolutely.
And so that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, so but, in sports, you're right. There is, sports isn't necessarily a zero-sum game.
And wouldn't it also be like a win for a team if they manage to get there, the other team is really, really strong, and they come out of the game without any serious injuries?
Well, okay, that we try to institute changes where we don't get those matchups. Unfortunately, they still happen.
They do.
I see at least two on Hood River Valley's schedule this year that is that way in terms of the opponent. For the opponent we'll be playing, that's, I would hope, there's one opponent at least I go, they play them late in the year, I'm going, I don't know if they're going to have a team by the time they get there. You know, but yes, there are. But you are correct. There are some of those, unfortunately, that are like that. I guess the example I guess I would prefer, if we're going to go that example, is, you know, if they can put a couple touchdowns on the board and maybe not go to running clock till the fourth quarter, it's been a, you know, they've had a good night sort of deal.
Right. So the idea is that they have a different idea. They have a different definition
of success.
Of win or success.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I don't know a lot. I mean, admittedly.
I know you don't know a lot. I'm surprised we're going here.
That's part of the reason. I want to do this conversation with something I'm not familiar with. Mm-hmm. So even in the bigger sports leagues and the professional level, how a team finishes in their like rankings has something to do with the trades that they get or the picks that they get for the next year and and how they get set up, right?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they're in some ways, because most of them now have a draft lottery that they take the bottom eight or nine, they have weighted odds, and then they pick out who gets the first
pick. Why did they come up with that?
To keep people from throwing games.
Because the outcome mattered opposite way.
Exactly. If you lose, you were doing better. The story of how the Pittsburgh Penguins ended up with Mario Lemieux as the number one draft pick was them in New Jersey basically doing all they could the final month of the season to try to lose every game they stepped out on the ice for. And guess what? They played each other at the end of the year.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody had to win, right?
And New Jersey won, and so therefore kind of lost because Pittsburgh got one of the greatest players of all time.
Oh, that would have been such a fun game to see.
Well, but that's why you got draft lotteries, because that's, you know, the players who are out there aren't trying to throw the game. The management teams are. You know, put as bad a team as you can put out on the ice.
Because,
we've seen that a couple times.
Yeah. So definition of success. I think zero sum is a misnomer.
Okay.
It's not real. We use it, we look at it, we think about it as it's just about the money, it's just about the win. And we use it because there are benefits to being seen as someone who doesn't care about the relationship.
Okay.
You can be tougher. You can be stronger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can look more indefensible.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal at the end is still whatever your definition of success is, which is a part short-term, a part long-term.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think when you take the approach of that, absolutely, I'm just going to grind them zero sum, the relationship doesn't matter, you don't know if the relationship's going to matter. It may not matter today. It might not matter next year. It might matter 5 years from now. You don't know that. You don't know what the relationship is going to be with that person or that business or that entity. And that's the problem if you take the... There are... I imagine there's the somewhat occasions maybe it's appropriate. But in the end, it's one of the problems we have politically is that Peter Courtney, for years, an Oregon State Senator, Democrat. And one thing he said many years ago was, it doesn't matter if you're in the... He said... Even if you're in the majority where you can push through whatever you want no matter what, you don't want to do that. You say you can't, you've got to involve the other party, because if you don't, the day is going to come where maybe that relationship is and the dynamic is turned completely around and they're going to shut you away. Mm-hmm. And guess what we're seeing now are those cycles. And
it comes back around.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is all sorts of problems with the idea that you try to grind everybody no matter what.
Yeah.
In fact, I would suggest you never do that. That's, you know, you can go into something going, okay, this is the result I need to get to and be firm on that. But you can do that without being ruthless.
I got to piggyback on your story because I had a conversation with Dave Fronmeyer once about, well, he was a guest speaker at a training that I was attending as a trainee. Mm-hmm. And I walked up to him and I told him what I did. And he was like, oh, that's really cool. Because, you know, one of the things that I do is, I don't talk about it very often, but if I'm ever in a meeting, I volunteer to be the one taking notes. And I'm like, now this is a guy who has plenty of standing. No, he had plenty of standing.
I get why. Yeah.
Why?
Because, well, first of all, you can have somebody else take notes, but it may not necessarily, you may not necessarily get everything out of there. You take your own notes, you can hit the high points that you believe are high points. But also it helps keep your attention better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It also, in his words, was for the long term. Mm-hmm. If you're the one drafting the notes, you're drafting the document that goes forward, you know what's in that policy.
Yeah.
You know how the paragraphs work together. You know all the little pieces and parts so that later, when you need to use it, reference it, or be engaged with that, you know how that system works. Yeah. And I just feel like there is a softer side to hardcore negotiations that's going to benefit you in so many different ways. And so this posturing ahead of time must be serving a different purpose.
Yeah. Now, I need to tell everybody this, because you teach Harvard Extension, and so you teach classes about this subject to people who, frankly, are getting trained to do exactly what you're saying not to do.
Absolutely.
That's got to be fascinating when you talk about this with these folks.
It is. Oh, my gosh. I love it. That that is one of the things that's so much fun about teaching adults, you know, in any kind of context, that they have a whole life experience. And so they're not afraid to contradict you, to change what you've said, to poke questions back. And at the same time, there is just an underlying reality check that if you're looking at the future in any kind of, especially those business circles where people are coming back for a graduate degree in negotiation or in that level, it's a pretty small circle. Those people are going to run into each other again. And so thinking about what kind of emotions are you seeing? Do those emotions that that person is showing in a negotiation, do they make sense?
Yeah.
Is there something else going on? And if you can be the person who actually lent a hand to somebody who was having a bad day, had nothing to do with your negotiation, you're going to have a much better friendship.
Oh, yeah. And again, you know, the relationship part of this, regardless of what it is, for the most part, you've got to keep in mind, regardless. I get maybe if someone, let's say, is dealing with some corporate insurance company, you know, in Minnesota or whatever, that frankly probably is being run or doing the negotiations are people that Marty, we just discussed that I could see then where you've got to watch out for yourself. Absolutely. But I think when you're talking about something within your community, especially whether it's buying a used car from somebody or, you know, whatever we want to negotiate, that's going to be a part, you know, the relationships are going to be there. And so you have to keep those in mind as you discuss any sort of transaction or any sort, you know, I went financial there, but, you know,
right,
personal agreements, et cetera.
Financial is the easiest one because, mm-hmm, you know, money is fungible.
Yeah, and also people understand negotiation. There is a point where, okay, they're not going to be able to afford this, or they're not willing to spend, you know, there's tangible budget limitations for everybody in negotiations that they can't go around.
Yeah.
And nobody feels like a relationship is damaged when you tell somebody that.
Right.
At least it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're trying to grind every penny from somebody, that eventually comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
In the long run.
It does.
It does.
And I think it's kind of a smokescreen.
Okay. Okay. All right. I was thinking it was just greed and trying to pick up every penny you could, but okay. I don't know.
I don't think pennies matter as much.
Well, no, of course pennies don't matter much.
But I think that people they wouldn't be in a negotiation if they truly couldn't afford it, mm-hmm, from a financial standpoint. But if you're behaving that way, mm-hmm, what are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. If I'm approaching somebody as in, look, because it's pretty clear right away, if you're trying to get the highest dollar, mm-hmm, that you don't care about the human, then why would somebody do that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the benefit to that kind of behavior?
Mm-hmm. Well, other than, you know, usually financial, you know, now you're starting to get with psychological discussion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's power dynamics, et cetera, that are involved here.
So, mm-hmm, one of the effects, and I talk with people about this, mm-hmm, you mentioned mediation, so my mm-hmm former career, is trying to get people to de-escalate their emotions, de-escalate the tension, yeah, mm-hmm, to a point where they can actually cooperate with somebody. However, if we flip that around and say, why do people raise that tension? You know, mm-hmm, why do they do it initially? And some people, I mean, I, mm-hmm, think it's an instinct, or it's like, you know, they're just reacting and it is hard. Mm-hmm. And so they get stressed and that comes out.
Yeah.
More sophisticated negotiators do it strategically,
mm-hmm,
to intimidate,
right,
to raise,
sure,
the tension,
yeah,
to push a,
yeah,
timeline.
Well, it's, you know, psychological power dynamics.
Yeah. So the neurological effect, though, when it comes, mm-hmm, to decision making,
yeah,
is when you're in that elevated stress level, mm-hmm, your threshold of tolerance is down, but also your brain shifts, the chemistry shifts,
mm-hmm,
and you get into that more of a core of your brain, which makes decisions based on survival, based on, right, fight or flight. And so it keeps, mm-hmm, people out of their best thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a strategic move that a lot of negotiators
to get somebody, but yeah, basically just basically get them to capitulate is essentially,
mm-hmm,
they get, or, you know, it may not be necessarily fight or flight. I know we got to run here, but it may be just as much about, I'm tired of this. This isn't worth it anymore. I'm going to, yeah, settle this.
And we're really craving that mm-hmm release of that tension in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if it's just like you and me negotiating,
yeah, mm-hmm,
that curve's pretty sharp.
Right.
And you go back down to sort of
pretty
normal.
Quick, yeah.
But if we stay and, mm-hmm, we're always feel with that human like we, well, are up in that.
That's often why when in major labor negotiations, when negotiations take a break, a recess, it's to allow that curve to come down.
Right.
Because
it's also why some of those old-fashioned ones start. Mm-hmm. And go for like 24 hours until,
yes,
people finally get to a document where everybody's, yeah, fallen down and, mm-hmm, able to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating that. I am suggesting people think about, though, mm-hmm, when their stress level is up, right, how long has it been up?
Yeah.
How long have you been in that realm? Because, mm-hmm, you're not using all your brain.
And so at that point, it's time to stop and step back. We got to run. Marty Dane will be back with you in a couple weeks while I'm gone. 8:53, we'll return and wrap it up right after this.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code CLEAN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code CLEAN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code CLEAN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Hi, everybody. This is Anthony Lucia, your Pendleton Extreme Bulls Tour finale announcer. The event that crowns the Extreme Bulls Tour champion will take place during the 115th Pendleton Roundup this September. The PRCA, the Pendleton Roundup, and Happy Canyon are excited to present the Extreme Bulls Tour finale, presented by Coors Banquet and your local Coors distributor, Columbia Distributing, in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena. The Extreme Bulls Tour finale will be a two-day event scheduled for September 8th and 9th. It will feature the top PRCA bull riders, each having earned their place by qualifying through the semifinal events, all leading up to the thrilling tour finale inside the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena. Get your tickets now as they won't last long for this epic championship event that will crown the Extreme Bulls Tour champion. Buy tickets now at PendletonRoundup.com for the PRCA Extreme Bulls Tour finale. On with the show, and let her buck.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus. And it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com. To tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's, Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. And it is now 8:57 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. On the show Monday when we return, Port of Hood River Executive Director Kevin Greenwood, the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce CEO Lisa Farquharson, and our scheduled guests on the show. It is, of course, a lot of fair activity going on. The Wasco County Fair is down in Tie Valley through the weekend. Skamania County Fair in Stevenson, Klickitat County Fair in Goldendale. They've all got websites and all got Facebook pages, so you can go find out what's going on. And we want to remind you also, again, we had these folks on a little while ago, but Hood River Adopt-A-Dog, they've got their big fundraiser going on tomorrow up at Mount Hood at Mount Hood Meadows. And if I can find the right page, it's on. There it is, Tales on Trails. And they're going to have dog-friendly hikes, dog photo shoots, dog-friendly swimming pools, live music, food and drink specials, and more. Tickets are $20 if you get them in advance at skihood.com. They'll be $25 day of at the resort. So, you can help a Hood River Adopt-A-Dog. Great cause there. We are out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Talk to
Food Truck is an engaging and educational event for the kids happening August 23rd at 9:30 at the WonderWorks Children's Museum on 206 Madison Street, The Dalles. Children will be able to get up close and personal with a wide range of vehicles that our everyday heroes use, like tractors, emergency vehicles, and waste management trucks. They can see the vehicles in action with live demonstrations. There will also be a wide variety of other fun activities there. The event is free to attend. Join Touch a Truck at the WonderWorks Children's Museum on 206 Madison Street, The Dalles on August 23rd at 9:30.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM. KIHR, Hood River, White Salmon, Bingen, Odell, and Parkdale. Today's country. Today's KIHR.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin heading to Alaska today for this afternoon's bilateral meeting. President Trump pushing for Russia to end its war in Ukraine and calling today's sit-down the next step on the path to peace. On board Air Force One, the president says he and Putin can get along to get a deal done, but says any talk of business opportunities, including mineral rights, are not the priority.
I notice he's bringing a lot of business people from Russia. And that's good. I like that because they want to do business, but they're not doing business until we get the war settled.
A new Pew Research poll shows that 59% of Americans surveyed say they don't think the president can foster an end to the conflict. New concerns about the federalization of police in Washington, D.C. after Attorney General Pam Bondi issued an order to remove the authority of the city's police chief and revoke department policies blocking cooperation with federal immigration enforcement. ABC's Stephen Portnoy says D.C.'s elected leaders now pushing back.
D.C.'s Attorney General accuses the U.S. Attorney General of trying to unlawfully sideline the city's police chief. Pam Bondi's Thursday night order says the department's chain of command can't make any decisions without the approval of DEA Administrator Terry Cole, who's been tapped as the department's emergency federal commissioner. But DC's lawsuit says there's nothing in the law that allows for that. The Home Rule Act says for up to 30 days, the president may direct the mayor to provide police services for federal purposes.
Erin is now the first named hurricane of the Atlantic season. The Category 1 storm expected to gain strength as it churns off the U.S. eastern seaboard, and the areas of the Caribbean are in the crosshairs. Here's ABC's Ginger Z.
This is a function of where this thing is going to go. So it's now just over 500 miles east of the Leeward Islands. It's moving west-northwest, and that northwest flow is important because it keeps it north of the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico.
You're listening to ABC News.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Hundreds of flight attendants with Air Canada expected to walk off the job this weekend after negotiations with the airline appear to be failing. ABC's Mola Lenghi has more from Dulles Airport.
The sticking point in negotiations between the airline and flight attendants union has been flight attendant salaries. Air Canada says it's still hoping they can make a last-minute deal, but if not, a full shutdown of the airlines expected by Saturday morning, which will affect around 130,000 customers every single day.
The Commerce Department says retail sales in the U.S. were up last month as Americans consumers appear to take advantage of summer deals.
Retail sales were up by 0.5 percentage point in July. This follows a nearly 1% increase in June. Spending had slowed drastically in April and May following President Trump's tariff announcement, but consumers are returning to stores. One exception is electronics. Sales were down by more than 0.5%. The biggest increase in July came in auto sales. They were up by 1.6%. Brian Clark, ABC News.
In New York City today, the final affected cooling tower tied to the ongoing Legionnaires' disease outbreak is expected to be repaired as the city looks to stop future cases in their tracks. 99 cases and 4 deaths have resulted this year from the outbreak. Kellogg's announcing they will stop using artificial dyes in its breakfast cereals by the end of 2027, saying they are evolving their portfolio of cereals to provide consumers more of what they need. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3-year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
At Gill's Point S Tire and Auto Service, we're here to make sure your vehicle is prepared for whatever the road brings. We make it easy with tires and auto service under one roof. Wipers, batteries, brakes, oil changes, alignments, tires, wheels, and more. Plus, we'll give you a free Gill's Digital Vehicle Report with every visit, so you always know what's going on with your car. So wherever the road takes you, there's no stress with Gill's Point S.